Good afternoon. First of all, I want to thank you all for joining us today for an update on the avian influenza outbreak in Iowa. We do have a number of media outlets from around the state that we've also connected by telephone so they can at least listen in on this. We think this is an important issue to get out across the state of Iowa. Before the avian influenza was confirmed in Iowa, we watched as the virus struck other Midwestern states, including our neighboring states of Minnesota and Wisconsin. As the virus hit a number of other states, producers began taking proactive steps relating to biosecurity to help prevent and minimize the spread of the virus. Iowa was fortunate that the virus didn't affect our poultry until just a few weeks ago. But given the nature of how the virus can spread, it ultimately found its way to our state, first through a turkey production facility in Buena Vista County. Over the past 2 weeks, our office has been working closely with Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Bill Northey to make any and all resources available to fight the outbreak, including many of our state agencies. I've asked executive branch departments to work with Secretary Northey's team and the USDA to assist in the efforts to fight this influenza outbreak that's affecting poultry. The following agencies are currently assisting in this effort: the Iowa Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management, the Iowa Department of Public Health, the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Iowa Department of Transportation, the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, the Iowa Department of Inspections and Appeals. In addition, the Iowa National Guard is involved in planning and information management related to the situation. It's important to know that there are not risks to humans through this outbreak. I want to repeat that. There are not risks to humans through this outbreak. Throughout the development of this situation, every state resource has been made available to the USDA and Secretary Northey's office and to local governments and producers. However, as the virus continues to spread, I decided that declaring a state of emergency for the entire state of Iowa was necessary. The disaster proclamation allows agencies to better utilize more resources to help respond to these contaminations, as well as plan and enforce travel routes for vehicles hauling products relating to poultry and turkeys, and also possibly the dead birds that would be disposed of. The proclamation also activates the State Emergency Operations Center, where staff from across all relevant agencies will coordinate resources and personnel as effectively as possible. The full proclamation with all the details is available in your press release and on our website, which is www.governor.iowa.gov. And now I'd like to invite Secretary Northey from the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship and our Iowa Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management Director Mark Scouten to further address this issue. Turn it over to Bill first.
Well, thank you, Governor. Thank you for all your support during this important issue. While the disease, once again, is not a human health threat or food safety concern, it's clearly having a large impact on our poultry industry. As you've likely seen by now, we're announcing 4 new cases of avian influenza today, including a large layer operation in Madison County with 1 million layers. Unfortunately, despite the best efforts of everyone to slow the spread of the disease, outbreaks are continuing to appear. We've experienced tremendous support from the state, federal, and local officials, as well as the poultry industry, since the first case of avian influenza was announced 2.5 weeks ago. The emergency declaration just announced by the governor will allow the state to continue to respond aggressively to this disease outbreak. I'm extremely proud of the employees of the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship and our other state employees that have been great partners in this effort to be able to do outreach and surveillance. I also certainly want to mention the great cooperation that we've had with the U.S. Department of Agriculture as well, as they have a strong team here in the state working with our poultry producers and working with all of us. As the disease has spread, it's important to continue to step up our response, and this declaration will allow for that. Also, I know we've talked a lot about biosecurity, and we continue to stress that to all producers. We've been working with USDA, and we'll be providing some enhanced biosecurity guidelines that anyone who has or works with poultry should consider. This includes treating all commercial poultry sites as potentially positive for high-path avian influenza. So it's important to control access to your site and within your site, and to disinfect all vehicles and to consider any person within a site as something that needs to be disinfected so as not to spread the disease within the site. Do not feed poultry any feed material that has been stored outside. And certainly clean up any spilled material that's outside that birds would have any access to. Finally, identify and use routes that minimize transportation of poultry and poultry products near other commercial poultry sites. So hopefully, as poultry farms continue to step up their biosecurity, and we see warmer weather, the spread of the disease will be slowed significantly. In closing, I'd encourage all concerned citizens of Iowa within and without the areas or outside of the areas that are impacted to use the Iowa Concern Hotline. That's 800-447-1985 if they have any questions. Whether those are food safety questions or concerns about birds that they may have, feel free to use that Iowa Concern Hotline. It's available 24 hours a day. All calls are free and confidential, and operators are willing to assist wherever possible. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you, Governor. Now we'll turn it over to Mark Johnson.
Thank you, Governor Branstad, Secretary Northey. The Iowa Department of Homeland Security Emergency Management plays a coordination role in this disaster. That means we work with the involved state, local, and federal organizations to ensure a timely and effective response. Over the course of the last few weeks, we've worked with IDOLS to bring together state agencies to keep everyone up to date on the outbreak and to brainstorm planning and coordination efforts. Other agencies at these meetings have included the IDOLS, the Iowa Department of Public Health, Transportation, Natural Resources, Corrections, Public Safety, Human Services, Inspection and Appeals, and the Iowa National Guard. We partially activated the State Emergency Operations Center Thursday. Joyce Flynn is here, and she is our operation chief. She is in control of the SEOC, and we did that so we could better involve those state agencies that are already active in this response. It remains today in partial activation, and with the governor's proclamation, it will continue in activation and will be open as long as necessary to continue this coordination among the state, federal, and local agencies as needed. Now, we're also working with local emergency managers in the counties where the outbreaks have been identified, and coordinating with them, keeping them apprised as activities at the federal level and at the state level. Yeah, we've talked to Wright County in respect to its local disaster designation and what we're attempting to do with the local coordinators is give them situational awareness and help them coordinate any needs that they might have at the county level. The governor's proclamation today enables those efforts to continue, but to continue on a greater scope as we continue to respond to this disaster. And state agencies before have been responding to the disaster under their own authority. However, today this proclamation gives them additional state resources and approaches that they may apply in the very near future. Homeland Security Emergency Management Public Information Staff is also working with IDOLS to spread the word to the public as requested. We continue to look forward to working with IDOLS in respect to the prevention and the containment of this disaster. Thank you.
Okay, we would open it for your questions. We intend to have the Department of Transportation actually put out guidelines and directions. One of the things is, for instance, when we go to transport or dispose of these dead birds, we want to make sure that the routes they take are safe, and we're also going to permit, for instance, heavier loads and some same things I do in the fall sometimes, you know, in harvest time, where we permit up to 90,000 pounds, and we also make some changes in terms of the hours of the operators and things like that. But we also want to make sure the routes they take are approved by the DOT in advance. Well, let me let Bill answer that.
We just added another 1 million birds to it today, but we're about 16 million birds have been affected here, layers in Iowa. That's out of about 59 to 60 million layers. So about one quarter of the state's flock is on infected farms. Certainly all, so the question was about disposal process. All we have several different options available to producers. In some cases, the turkey operations, many of those are composted within the barns that those turkeys actually live in. In other cases, we're seeing some composting outside the layer operations. We're seeing and likely to see some more burial on those farms as well. We may well see some landfill options in some cases. In this case, these birds are put into a bag that's completely sealed and hauled to a landfill in a safe method. There's still some consideration about a high temperature incineration as well that kills the disease that would be able to handle the birds. So all these are options. We have producers of all different sizes, and so certainly each producer is significantly impacted. There is an indemnity process that USDA brings to this that will pay part of the cost of those live birds that had to be depopulated to prevent the spread of the disease, and part of the cost, generally most of the cost, of being able to depopulate and dispose of those birds. So in that case, some of these costs that they have are covered, but not the loss of ongoing income. So if you have an egg operation, you're not selling eggs. I think we'll find out over time whether you're not selling eggs a few months or it's longer than that. You have some operations that not only those operations are impacted, but employees are impacted, feed companies, other people provide supplies as well.
So I think it's really too early for us to estimate, but obviously, we're already concerned about farm income. The cost of production is higher than the price of corn and soybeans today. And then you add this, it does indicate that it's going to be a challenging time for agriculture. Although I would say I was governor during the farm crisis of the 80s, and the number that Bill Northey gave you that ends in 1985, that was the rural concern hotline that we started back then. So this situation is not nearly as dire of what we faced then, but this particular avian influenza is a disaster emergency that we need to take very seriously. We need to do everything we can to try to minimize the loss and help the people that are affected. Well, first of all, we don't want these heavier trucks going over dangerous bridges where the bridge could collapse. That's one thing. Another thing is we don't want them going, facilities in the state that are not affected. And although I think by the time they're going to be transported, hopefully the disease will have been killed because of the heat. Once it gets over 130 degrees, it kills this disease. We want to do everything we can to do this in the safest and in the way that isn't going to create any additional problems. So that's the reason why having the DOT designate routes, we think, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, certainly in all these methods of disposal, DNR has been in all the conversations. They have to provide approval before any of those get done. So they look at water table, they look at the impact to landfills. Each of those things is looked at before anything's approved. We also have the ability to approve or not approve the transportation of this equipment off the site as well. So we've got to approve that this disease is not going to move with those vehicles, that they're disinfected, that those birds are contained in a way that can't spread the disease. But in an extra layer of safety, as the governor said, it's important to look at the routes as well as when these leave the facility.
I think that's one of the challenges. Is, first of all, it's a huge problem, and it's going to take some time, and it's easier, I think, with the turkeys than it's going to be with the laying hens that are in these cages, and trying to get the dead hens out of the cages when you have, in some cases, millions of them. That's going to be a big challenge, and I think we're going to need to do everything we can to coordinate and work with the USDA on that. Not in my time. I'm sure, there have been back historically situations like that, but not, and I've been around a while, but not in the years that I've been involved in state government have we had a disaster situation affecting, our poultry. And turkeys like this. This is a magnitude much greater than anything we've dealt with in recent modern times. Yes. What are the means to detect this?
We certainly encourage anybody that has any suspicion of an illness at all in their birds to get those tested, contact us. We'll find a way to get those tested very quickly as well. As it turns out, these birds are very susceptible to this disease, and they show up very quickly. So very quickly, you start to see illness, and you start to see some death long before it's impacted the rest of the barn. So often, when we'll get a report back that a disease has come, or a test has come back positive, they say, we've only had 50 birds in our barn that have died. But that was 50 more than we normally had, and therefore that's why we were suspicious.
Who's doing the testing?
The testing is sometimes done by the company, sometimes done by a local veterinarian. We can put people in those situations, but generally it's done by the company or the local veterinarian. Those tests generally go to Iowa State University Veterinary Diagnostic Lab, which will go through the first round of tests, and then to conclude and make sure that it's an N2, right, in H5, highly pathogenic, can be confirmed by Iowa State University Veterinary Diagnostic Lab. But the N2 verification goes to the USDA National Animal Disease Center at Iowa State. Right. let me just clarify that just a piece. So, yes, generally it's voluntary. If a facility is in within the 10-kilometer surveillance zone, then once we have a facility, we reach out to everybody within that 10-kilometer surveillance zone. If they're a commercial facility, we require testing to be done. In many cases, those tests have come back negative. They have not had the disease, but we have had a couple cases where we've come back with a positive test, and that's led us to another facility.
Yes, Roger.
Well, you've got one in Kossuth County, which is north central, and you've got one in Madison County. Most of them have been in northwest Iowa, but obviously people in Wright County, where they have a lot of birds, have concern about this. And we felt basically there, in considering we've got it in Wisconsin and Minnesota, I guess there's been some in other states too, like South Dakota, that it just made sense to go with a statewide disaster designation. And that's why I've signed that as a disaster emergency declaration today. Yes. Well, it's too early to know that, but I would point out that whenever we have a disaster emergency situation, there's a process that's really overseen by Mark, and he can maybe go into more details. And then they come to the executive council for approval of any funds that the state might be asked to provide in the future. But mainly, we want a coordinated effort of all state agencies right now to combat the spread of this avian flu epidemic. And let me let Mark, I guess, put a little more detail on that.
The governor is correct. There is a fund controlled by the executive council that in disasters of this nature, called the Performance of Duty Fund, is used to pay for those additional expenses that agencies or specialty teams that are operated under Homeland Security Emergency Management, work that they would do in support of the response, can be paid through the executive fund.
Yeah, there is has been actually established over 5 years ago, a avian influenza fund that allows us recently here to be able to tap into some of the resources for testing supplies and some of the ongoing costs of surveillance and reaching out to some of the folks. I don't know the status of that fund. We had, I think, about $137,000 that was in that fund. I'm sure we're going through it right now. Our focus has been on being able to get to those folks that need the help. Certainly our math on that would have been different a week ago when we had 3 cases versus now 21 cases. With this popping, it can change so quickly. So we'll certainly need some dollars, and that's the advantage of the emergency declaration, that we can then have the flexibility to respond as this emergency plays out.
Well, there's not a specific amount of money available. It basically is up to the executive council to respond to emergencies. And that varies from year to year. We always have, I mean, every year I've been governor, there's been something, whether it's a tornado, an ice storm, a flood, you name it. But that's why we have that available through the executive council and Mark's office basically oversees that, so they submit the claim to us, and then we're part of the executive council that then has to approve it. Well, there's been coordination, and we've had discussions with the other states all along, and we were hoping, we had this all around us, and we were one of the last to be hit, but now we are the number one egg producing state. And what are we in turkeys? 11? We're number 9 in turkey production. So, you know, they're significant operations in our state, and so it's had an impact already, and that's the reason why we felt we needed to go this extra step of the disaster emergency designation. Well, you've heard us say that the warmer the weather is, the more likely it is to reduce the spread of this, and I guess it reduces how long the virus lives. So they're saying, you know, if the temperature is over 80 degrees, that really helps. Now, this can be extended. So we're setting that as the deadline now, but it could be extended beyond that if necessary. Yes. I think it's premature to do that at this point in time. We want to know the extent of what the, you know, Minnesota, this has been a bigger problem in Minnesota. I think they had 50 cases, maybe even before we had one. But it is a problem in Minnesota and Wisconsin, it is in some other states as well. And obviously, we want to do what we can. But we also recognize the financial challenges that we're facing.
Generally, we believe, and USDA believes that, and they're the ones that are really handling the testing of these birds, that this came from wild birds. It absolutely originated in wild birds. They can trace that and look at that. Now, once it gets to a site, the question is, has it moved from any site to another site? And there's a lot of work going on trying to figure that out. When you look at the concentration, especially up in Minnesota around some of these turkey sites, there's been that concern. That's one of the reasons we're saying, because we don't know exactly how it's moving, we're asking for increased biosecurity. Everyone should treat their site as if it potentially has it on the dust on the ground, on the road in front, on the workers that are walking into the site. So that means disinfect before you go in around those birds. You could carry anything into that site. We don't know that that's the way that's moving, but certainly theoretically it could. It's important to do everything we can at every step to reduce this disease.
I want to just say thanks for joining us this afternoon. We'll try to do the best